So, this is going to be part two. We were about 16 minutes into the first part, and I started realizing that this first topic is going to have to be multiple parts, right? And so I wanted to just gather my thoughts and start this next part, as well as maybe we'll give you a taste of some of the other topics we're going to get into, because they're all interrelated to some extent, right? So I am outside, might get a bit windy at times, deal with it. So in addition to this first topic, right, which revolves all around how the role of the cloud chain is to provide blind attestation, we're also going to be delving into some other topics, the second one being the TSN protocol. And we'll get into a little bit of the difference between what the cloud chain's role is versus the TSN protocol, okay? Or the Truth Social protocol, right? And then eventually I'm also going to get into another topic, which is all about what I was calling reference prefix characters, but potentially will be changed to reference descriptive characters or reference descriptors, okay? Or possibly even just summary characters, right? Because they may be a suffix characters or prefix characters. We'll have to see about that, but that's not important. It's not as important as what their role is going to be, right? Or reference prefix bytes, okay? However you want to think about it. And then related to that is going to be reference contracts or cloud contracts. That may be a sub part of that topic or separate topic. We'll have to see what time permits and what we cover when we eventually get to that third topic, right? Because we got our topic today, we've got the TSN protocol, and then we've got this third topic of reference characters, and we'll see if cloud contracts is a separate topic altogether or sub part, right? And then another topic is going to be called the nature of interactions, okay? And then possibly even a fifth topic would be the Truth Social client versus the Truth Social network, all right? And so we're still on this first topic, so we're gonna see how much ground we could cover here. I'm definitely gonna get this first topic done. We'll see how many parts it takes to do so. Anyway, the cloud chain's role is to provide blind attestation, and this is juxtaposed with the TSN protocol, which is the feds are after me, guys. We got a plane overhead, but the TSN protocol is a protocol that you engage in order to create valid identity blocks, and as a byproduct, valid TSN references therein, right? I think we touched on that briefly. And the reason why you engage in this protocol and follow these set of rules is because you want to create pseudonymous identity-based proof of publication, right? So that's the why. So what I want to do now, and I think would be most effective in helping others understand what we're about to talk about, is explain basically the progression in thinking I've had from the last few ADJs until now, okay? Or even going back further than that, right? Basically, before coming to such realizations that we're gonna get into, the assumption was, well, the cloud chain and the identity blockchain were sort of these intertwined layers where the cloud we mistakenly were assuming that cloud chain miners themselves would have to be validating TSN references, which are like the building blocks of the TSN network. These are like the fingerprints of content within identity blocks. So, we were falsely assuming, well, in Bitcoin, miners validate, who the transaction, who is authorizing a transaction, do they have the right balance, and is their signature valid? Are they presenting the right public key? Yada yada yada. So similarly, we were starting from that point saying, well, you don't want like people, you want to know where the content's coming from, and so these cloud chain miners would be providing a similar role, and they'd be actually literally going through identity blocks and like validating TSN references in a similar way that Bitcoin miners do transactions, and that they'd be checking each digital signature from these references to see if they worked out. They'd be, checking these various things. And what we've come to realize is that it was completely unnecessary for them to do any of these tasks, okay? So we've slowly been moving from the extreme, from one extreme to another, and that the cloud chain layer or the role of cloud chain miners was getting less and less complex in what they had to do, which was, as a positive side effect, removing tons of technical debt of the system that needs to be built, okay? Because the more and more you remove from the role of these cloud chain miners, the more similar, from a technical standpoint, a cloud chain becomes to just a simple clone of a Bitcoin blockchain. And so, in this process of getting less and less complex, and realizing why it was totally unnecessary for cloud chain miners to go through identity blocks and validate all these things, we had progressed to a point where really the only additional thing they'd need to do, that's, different than Bitcoin would be to basically validate, instead of all of the cloud-based references, basically validate the header of the identity block and the cloud-based reference to make sure, basically that the cloud-based reference referred to the transaction ID of what was basically thought of as the acceptance of it by the cloud chain network, and that it was a valid TSN reference, and that, the header was valid, and that it had a Merkle tree of all these references and referenced the previous block and had a valid timestamp and this and that and blah 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 blah. But while that was a tremendous reduction in complexity to get to that point, because that was much simpler than going through all of the references as a miner, what I've realized and what this is all about is that we could do even better than that, okay? What I've effectively done is brought us to a point where cloud chain miners literally need not know or even be aware of the TSN protocol or of Root's following of it to like a 99.999 degree, and we'll get to that point, 0.0001 that keeps it from being 100, okay? But don't worry about that for now. So in order to get to this final step of, hold on. near zero complexity, we'll call it, or near identical clone to Bitcoin, there was an intermediate step, okay? Which was, at the time I thought it was the final step, but now it's clear it was the intermediate step, okay? Because it left some technical debt, okay? So in order to get to blind attestation as the role of cloud chain miners, we had an intermediate step, which I'm going to label active blind attestation, versus the final step, which is really passive blind attestation, which is just a literal clone of Bitcoin, which in other words is going to mean you don't even need the miners to even know anything about the TSM protocol, which is beautiful. Beautiful, okay? So in active blind attestation, in this theoretical role, which was like the intermediate step to get to the final, which is passive, essentially cloud chain miners would not even go through any of the identity block or even be aware of it. They would simply blindly publish what was formerly called an identity block proposal transaction by root, but now it'll probably just be called like a publishing transaction by root. It does have specific prefix characters which specify that it is a publishing transaction, but the difference is here is that cloud chain miners would no longer be going through identity blocks, and they would simply be blindly publishing a hash of whatever root was publishing in these transactions. Now, in reality, root is going to be publishing identity block headers because they want to follow the TSM protocol. But say, for instance, they didn't. Well, from a cloud chain miner's perspective, right, they still would have to be publishing a hash of whatever was in this specific type of root proposal transaction. In other words, they don't care or know or necessarily are aware of anything about the TSM protocol. But the reason why, you know, they are going to be identity block headers in these is because root wants to create valid identity blocks and valid TSN references, which is all a part of pseudonymous proof of publication, right? So, but there is an important point here, being that, you know, whether or not root actually does that, or if they fail to do it in one instance due to error or whatever the case being, you know, from a cloud chain miner's perspective, it's simple. Well, if there's a transaction from root with these characters, I just publish a hash of whatever it is. And again, in reality, it's just going to be identity block headers, okay? So this intermediate step was still, you know, a huge success and represented big progress in that cloud chain miners need to have no longer needed to have any view of the identity blockchain or the block publishing server or any of that. And as a result of that, also this would be eliminating the attack vector of the block publishing server, right? And that, as we spoke about in the last few ADJs, you know, these networks are inherently going to always be, you know, people, content creators themselves are always going to be inherently centralized entities, in that, you know, you can take down, if you stop them from publishing, you stop them from publishing. So further, if you take down their website, in the former way things were set up, that would be a potential attack vector, and that if you were able to do this within the time that they proposed an identity block header for acceptance, and you know, the time that it was accepted 6 blocks later, there was a vulnerability because, well, miners formerly were checking the cloud-based reference, okay, that's something that's within an identity block. So if they lost access to the identity blockchain, then you have a problem with consensus because they don't know whether or not that identity block is valid. And you could have some people saying, well, it was, and others saying, well, I don't have the information, so it's not, and that could cause problems. So this was a huge success in that it completely eliminated all of that. So with active blind attestation as the role of cloud chain miners, there's literally no concept of an identity blockchain from the perspective of a miner, right? And that's going to be key going forward in all these discussions is from whose perspective are we talking about, right? So while that was a huge success and is, because we haven't spoken about this yet, what I eventually realized is, you know, it's like, well, so what do you mean there's a final step? And I call this passive blind attestation, right? Well, the reason I took it even further, and it goes in this trend of reducing complexity, right? This progression in thinking, which has gotten me to this final step, right? Where the cloud chain is basically either 100% done or 99.9 done, right? Is this, right? In the former role of active blind attestation by cloud chain miners, there was still basically, you know, a little bit of technical debt, non-zero, in the sense that, well, consensus is different in a cloud chain or in this proposed scenario. Consensus is still different because if Root's propose or when Root's proposing these, you know, these publishing transactions, you had better, first of all, as a node, right, from a node's perspective, you had better be ready to reject any blocks in which a miner does not appropriately update their cloud-based transaction to represent the acceptance of this publishing transaction by Root. And then further, by a miner, you know, you had better update the transaction when you're supposed to. So from a node's perspective, well, you know, this is kind of like probably similar to, you know, we had the fork wars, and it's like, well, if you're going to change the protocol in this way, then nodes are going to reject your blocks and this and that. So it's, in other words, like, this is not a huge amount of technical debt. It's probably something even a bandaho like me could accomplish. But nonetheless, it is something. And then there's the debt of the technical debt of the miners, which is really like almost nothing. But nonetheless, it's a non-zero thing. Is, you know, it's almost nothing because miners already are going to be putting something in their cloud-based transaction. Like in Bitcoin, they tag the transaction with the name of their mining pool, or they do what they want. So in other words, you're going to have to write custom software as a miner anyway to do to put something in that space, and you know, mining pools do their own thing and whatever. So not hard, but it's something. So what I'm about to explain is that I've taken this line of thinking even further and reached what I'm going to call passive blind attestation as the main role of cloud chain miners. And in doing so, I've eliminated both of those amounts of technical debt, you know, for the nodes and for the miners completely. So it's really quite a beautiful thing. impassive blind accept blind attestation by minors. Minors no longer have to publish a hash of anything by root. They just simply need to run a clone of Bitcoin's blockchain, okay? And so what happens to root, you know, root's publishing of identity blocks through these publishing transactions? Well, they don't go anywhere. Root is still doing that because root is going to be following the TSN protocol. So in other words, that last step of what miners have to do in order to remain in consensus has been removed. So the key here in understanding, and this is kind of what I mean, it was in front of my face the entire time, is to understand that before the miners would even publish anything to signify their acceptance, okay, they're already providing an attestation that what Root's publishing, you know, existed at the time that he published it, right? Because not all that dissimilar, pretty much exactly the same as they're attesting to the fact that transactions existed before the time they published their block. I mean, a bit dissimilar in that it's more important that the order of transactions is established to prevent double spending, but similar in that they're proving that it existed, okay, with this op-return transaction, okay? So they are still, in other words, why do they have to go that extra step and signify that they're accepting an identity block, so to speak? They don't need to provide any acceptance or validation of anything. They simply need to attest to the fact that these blocks existed at the time they did, and they don't even have to be aware that they're doing so. Just like I can use open timestamps or do the same thing in a Bitcoin block today by doing an op-return and publishing a hash of anything, I'm proving that it existed before a certain point. And so we had spoken about a lot of this stuff way earlier on, but earlier on, the assumption would be that was the assumption was that miner cloud chain miners would be going through identity blocks. So as we've gone down this scale of eliminating complexity of what they had to do, the solution reemerges, okay, and just makes everything so much cleaner and nicer and easier, right? So what I want to go through in this next part, I guess our third part of this first topic, right, is what the difference is in using your own unique cloud chain to provide this blind attestation or really existence proof versus using open timestamps versus using the Bitcoin blockchain itself and the pros and cons of each of them and why you're going to want to have your own cloud chain and the role it's going to serve in the wider system of systems that is the Truth Social Network, okay? And, you know, by interacting with, by the cloud chains, you know, the sum is greater than the parts. While the cloud chain doesn't know from a miner's perspective anything about the TSN protocol, the TSN protocol, in addition to the cloud chain, and in addition to some other things, are going to provide pseudonymous-based proof of publication. And there's truly enormous benefits that stem from it all.